Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. This is a broadcast on the NAWC Emergency Channel. It seems that, we have a couple of people at the table, starting with, I'll start with my man here in New York, Jason Block.
This is a day that I never thought that would come to pass, but it's here.
We also have, standing in for our regular techs, we have Chico Alexander. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here. I wish I was here under better circumstances.
Agreed.
I know.
And of course...
Go ahead.
I was about to say, of course, someone who really, you know, has been here a few times, has helped us out a lot, our good friend from, of course, WLTI and BS Big Show, Gordon Pepperidge. Welcome. How are you?
I am good. I thought we were doing a podcast with something else, except the second that I saw everybody here, I went, aha, I know why we're podcasting. I know where everything is going on, especially in the world, especially with what's going on there. And I said, you know what? This is something that I really feel that I want to be a part of, especially because, again, Hulk Hogan was one of the major icons of our generation growing up, whether you, in the words of Ric Flair, whether you like him or don't like him, he was such a huge icon back then, and I would love to remember him, not in terms of who he was for the past decade, but who he was for the first decade.
First 30 years, really. And the thing is that, as a lot of people have said, you can hate Terry Bollea, but love Hulk Hogan. And I think you can split the difference on this. You can.
Okay. No, that's probably the best way to put it. Because, I mean, without Hulk Hogan and a few of the other guys out of Minnesota, we wouldn't be here with wrestling.
This podcast would not exist. And Hogan was involved with so many legitimate, iconic moments within the wrestling industry. And you have to go back, you know, back to early 1980 when he was wrestling for Vern Gagne, okay, in the AWA.
Yep.
And he was so big. But then he made a very conscious decision. And Gordon and Chico, you'll know this one. In around 1982 or so, Vern Gagne said, either you sign the contract or you don't go anywhere, because he was supposed to do a little movie called Rocky III.
Yeah, he played one of Rocky's foes in Rocky III, and it was Rocky III.
He played a pro wrestler named Thunderlips in a charity event with, I believe, Dennis James, game show host reference, as one of the announcers. And he said, okay. And he did it and became this incredible icon that was then signed to the WWF at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a moment that will live in history, okay? And the date is, and I need to pull this up, January 2nd. I'm sorry, I'm trying to see this one, if this is the right one. January 23rd, 1984. That is the day Hulkamania was born. Okay?
Okay.
That is the day when Hogan becomes the champion and defeats the Iron Sheik, who, by the way, should have gotten a longer run as a heel champion. He got screwed.
Yes.
Okay? Big time. By the way, excellent documentary if you find it on, you know, Peacock somewhere, about the Sheik. But from 1984 to 1992
or 93. He was
He was the man. He was the man.
He made sure he was the man.
Well, let's not go there.
Okay. No, I will. I'm trying to keep myself in check.
Yes.
I said one rude thing during the production meeting, and I will merely say to everybody else, too soon.
Yes. But, Gordon, remember the big match in 1987 between Hogan and Andre at WrestleMania 3 when it was on closed-circuit TV?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one of those things where, as a kid, especially if you followed wrestling, it was one of those I-was-there-when moments. And I remember exactly where I was. I was at a friend's house with a bunch of people, and we were grabbing food and chips, and we watched WrestleMania 3, only to be topped the next year with WrestleMania 4, which had a bigger group of people and more chips and more food, and we had pizza.
Right. But I was at the University of Maryland. Okay, I took a bus out there. To watch the closed circuit, and when now you all of you have seen the Hogan Andre match. I assume you have.
I've seen the Hogan Andre match. I've seen it actually in replays because I did not get the closed circuit.
Do you remember the point where Hogan tried to body slam Andre?
Oh, gosh.
And Andre fell back on him, and there was a legit three count there, which they didn't count. The crowd went banana, in the words of
Pat Patterson.
Yes. The crowd was like, no! And, of course, eventually Hogan won. But remember, Hogan was so big. The Rock and Wrestling Show. Without Hogan, there was no WrestleMania. Hogan was the first person wrestler ever to host a Saturday Night Live episode in 1985. He was the first to headline a WrestleMania event at Madison Square Garden, which, by the way, was in the afternoon. It was like 1 o'clock, if I remember correctly, or something like that.
Wow.
It was an afternoon show.
Yeah, I'll jump in here. I did watch Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling, the cartoon that they put out. While nobody, I don't think anybody actually voiced themselves.
We did an episode of It Was a Thing on TV with Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. Nobody voiced themselves. In fact, the voice of Junkyard Dog was James Avery, a.k.a. The Shredder, a.k.a. Uncle Phil.
Oh, wow. The other thing that's funny, you probably glossed over this as well, when the character designs were being done for the cartoon, apparently Hogan demanded that he have hair.
Nice! Okay. That is quite excellent. And of course, Brad Garrett was the voice of Hulk Hogan. But, you know, he went on to be champion for close to 4 years straight. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns before Roman Reigns, if you want to say it that.
Okay. I wanted Roman Reigns to break that so bad.
I know. But that's for another time.
That's for another show.
That's for another show. He did guest shots. Oh, and remember, what was it, 1980? Okay, No Holds Barred. One of the first, you know, I Smell Dookie, 1989. God, that was a terrible movie. Okay?
Yeah. But it's a movie about arm wrestling.
My ass. But, you know, Hogan was involved in a boatload of movies in the 80s. He was one of the first wrestlers to become...
He was one of the first wrestlers to break Hollywood, as it were.
Yes.
Because Andre wasn't that far behind him.
Princess Bride, of course.
Princess Bride was 89?
No, I think Princess Bride was
86.
And then you had Predator with Jesse Ventura.
Right.
Cuz I'm looking at the movies that he was in.
Santa with muscles.
Yeah, Santa with muscles. Gosh.
That was terrible.
No Holds Barred. Yeah, Gremlins 2, The New Batch, Suburban Commando with Undertaker was in that.
Really?
Yeah. For a hot second, Mr. Nanny. God help us.
Yeah.
Thunder in Paradise. He was on TV for that.
Yep.
He was on an episode of Baywatch. As you said, Santa with Muscles, Three Ninjas series, Assault on Death Mountain, Muppets from Space, it's Hollywood Hogan. He was on Walker, Texas Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
He did break through. But, Hogan was in, and remember, the big thing, remember, they just had a documentary about this earlier this year, about when he came back in 93 to take over the spot of Bret Hart in WrestleMania 9.
Yeah.
That was back in 93. But then he did something that it was huge at the time. He jumped to WCW for guaranteed money.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. That was a big deal. That was a big deal when that happened. He jumped in order to join fellow defects, Scott Hall and...
No. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash came later.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hogan left in 95. And I believe won the title from Ric Flair at Bash at the Beach the next month, if I remember correctly. Okay? But, in Bash at the Beach 96 came one of the most controversial things to happen in the history of wrestling. Hall and Nash, who, by the way, I saw the curtain call live in 95.
Lucky.
At Madison Square Garden in the steel cage. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They go over to WCW as Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, but they never say themselves that they are. You know,
yeah. You
know why you're here, but you don't, you know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. Right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, we've got a third man. We've got a third man coming in. And it was, what was it? Savage? It was the outsider. Sting and Savage, right, I believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, Hulk Hogan drops the leg on Savage and creates one of the most influential factions in the history of professional wrestling. New World Order.
Which just had excellent, it had a bunch of excellent production. I keep seeing when people talk about that moment when Hogan first comes out before the turn.
Yes.
Bobby Heenan yells, but whose side is he on? And people are like, he's almost spoiled it. I was like, no, Heenan hated Hogan.
Right, exactly. Right.
He hated Hogan that to the point that he was like, you know, he should have celebrated when that leg came down.
Correct. And what happened was, and of course you have the most, infamous quote, Hogan has betrayed WCW, by the way, used on Pro Wrestling Nation / Busted Open all the time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that 96 to 98, the 83 weeks of the Eric Bischoff podcast.
Yes.
Hogan was the man as a heel. And Hogan as a heel was revolutionary at the time. at the time, 30 years ago now, almost.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hogan grew the goatee, you know, the fake mutton chops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you could also say, and here's a little continuity for you.
I
during the one of the biggest moments that Hogan actually gave the industry was when he was with the NWO at the Georgia Dome. I believe it was 98 or 99 when he dropped the title to Goldberg for a hot second.
I want to say 98.
I'll look. Hogan, Goldberg. Yeah, it was 98.
Okay. It was 98. Yeah, because I...
July 6, 98, okay?
Yeah.
It was 30, almost 30 years ago now, 27 years ago, this couple weeks from now, okay? A couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. So, Hogan, you know, eventually wears out his welcome in WCW. Well, actually, yes. No, that's not true. That's not true. Because WCW was sold in 2001, okay?
Correct.
In early 2002, the NWO moves to the WWE.
Because they wanted to sit on those WCW contracts.
Right.
They're guaranteed money.
But Vince said, wrong. You're working for us. Okay.
Yes, I like my money better sitting on my ass. Thank you. I'll call you when that's done.
No, but then what happened was is that we then had another iconic moment in Toronto, Canada that year. Okay. WrestleMania 18.
Ooh.
Icon versus Icon. Rock Hogan. Double turn.
And it's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
That was like a passing of the torch from one legend to another. Because if you remember, The Rock won that match. So
he did,
and Hogan stepped aside.
No, because if you remember, the next night he came back in the red and yellow. The NWO was dead. And then when he won the championship a few months later.
He also had a short
tag team run with Edge. I'm sorry.
That's what I was referring to, which I thought was just a lot of fun. That I will remember fondly, just because Edge was marking out so hard that he was getting to work with Hogan.
Right. And then, I'm just trying to see when he left
late 05 or early 06, because we had that infamous SummerSlam match with Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah, right. Here we go.
Was supposed to be three matches.
It was 02 to 03 was the second one.
Okay.
And then he was, of course, you know, yeah, exactly, right. And then he comes back in 05 to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by Sylvester Stallone.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then his... yeah, that's right. In his final match in WWE, Hogan beat Randy Orton at SummerSlam 06, which was his final wrestling match for WWE. But then he goes to another place, okay? TNA for 4 years.
Yep.
Okay. And was a face for a while, was a face for most of it. And of course, we were around when this happened, when they tried to go against WWE live in the 2010 era.
Oops. For the record, me and Stat Boy were at the WWE event, so we couldn't have watched the TNA thing anyway.
Right, exactly.
They had a better show. We were watching the reconciliation of Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
That's correct. Yes. And yeah, but again, it was all part of the, you know, he was with Immortal and feuded with Aces and Eights. Remember, Bully Ray was dating and, pardon my language, fucking around with Brooke.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was part of a group called Immortal. Oh God.
Yep.
Okay.
Which he had tattooed all the way across his back. Whatever, man.
Right, and then of course Hogan came back in 14-15 with the infamous Superdome, Silverdome, WrestleMania 30. Dumbass. Okay.
And then, which was quite amusing. So yeah.
Right. So he, and in between that time, this is where the controversy came in. Okay. When in July 2015, I'm going to use this term, Terry Bollea was on, because I think that's fair, right? Do you think?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Was on a sex tape using racist language. Okay. By the way, which actually led to the Gawker lawsuit, which he won and shut them down.
Okay? Yes. And, you know, love him or hate him, I think he deserved to shut Gawker down.
Right, because they yes, exactly.
And today might even be the 10th anniversary of that.
It is. To the day where they published the tape, yes. Okay. And he made a couple of appearances from 2018 to 2025. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, his last appearance was on the debut of Raw on Netflix, where he got his ass booed out of the building. You know?
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, the damage was done. And there were a lot of wrestlers that were already done with him even sooner than that.
I agree.
So,
well, you can even tell on social media that, you know, a number of people were mourning the death of Hogan, and a number of people were, I'm not going to say celebrating, but like, well, I understand that you lost an icon, but
yeah, that's the point.
Know,
yeah, because apparently Eric Bischoff got a whole bunch of flack on Twitter because he was actually talking fondly of Hogan.
Yeah, he said, thanks for the house. That's for the house, Holster. That's what he said. And the thing is that as I said, you cannot deny the legacy of Hulk Hogan in not one, not two, but three different feds. Okay? You can't.
Well, Hulk Hogan made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah, he did.
And a lot of organizations, and every, let's say, set of 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, he reinvented himself, and you can make an argument that he reinvented the game. And again, using Ric Flair, you can like him or not like him, but you can't poo-poo everything that he's done as contribution. I'll look at it this way, just like Rich Hatch from Survivor Season 1. You can like him or not like him, but he really started to set the standard on the rules of what Survivor is today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Richard Hatch a popular figure? Some people idolize him and some people despise him. You know, so you have that sort of polarized personality. Hulk Hogan, the exact same thing.
He is, you know, he is, I would say, the most polarizing thing. But put it this way, okay? Is Hogan on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling? You bet your ass he is.
Okay? Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
He is. Because without him and the success that Vince McMahon used from 1982, 1984, to, again, 1990-91, mm-hmm. would not have the billion-dollar business that Paul Levesque, TKO, and Ari Emanuel are running right now.
Correct. Hogan
built that on his back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was he the greatest wrestler in the world? No, but if you saw his Japanese work, he was. By the way, check.
Yeah.
You want to find his? You know, Hogan could wrestle if you check his Japanese stuff. Okay.
Yeah. But under Vince, he technically didn't have to, because he was so big. He could show up, do his five moves of doom. Hi, John Cena, and call it a day.
But this is an absolutely massive loss for the wrestling industry and for pop culture, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
Deep Brother Jack.
Yes. Because the character of Hulk Hogan was and is lightning in a bottle for the time that it was. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A hyper-patriotic blonde god right at the time that Reagan got elected in 81. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, and that Rick Derringer theme, which, by the way, was really meant for Mike Rotundo, ironically enough. When you hear that dun 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 dun, and you saw the crowd go batshit crazy for those 8 years or so. And even most, you know, up until a few years ago, he still did.
Yeah, people would still pop for that.
Right.
And Hogan's one of the few wrestlers that have more than one different theme song that people pop for in their era.
That's true. That's right. Sorry?
We forget about Voodoo Child.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And of course, the NWO, three songs. Okay?
Yeah.
The adult they get back, three songs, you're absolutely right. Yep.
The adult porno music, yes. I mean, seriously. You know?
He was not about the kids in the NWO era, nope.
No, he did not. He said, F them kids, right. But
yeah.
But it was, again, and the thing is that it is very rare that you can succeed as both a massive good guy and a massive bad guy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we're actually seeing the problem John Cena's having because of it. See, John Cena for
the
first...
Not everybody can do it.
For the first... From 02 to what, about 05, he was a heel, right? Thereabouts? Okay, I've seen
I would say more of a tweener than a heel. I wouldn't consider him a full-blown heel. I consider him a tweener.
Yeah, okay, a tweener, right.
But it was a slow burn turn because people didn't really like his raps because they tried to start him off as... I almost want to say he almost started as a face when he was still bland.
Prototype-like character?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was that Halloween show.
Right, when he was Vanilla Ice, so to speak.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
No, but then he, you know, he did a rap. The story of Cena, and we can talk about it, was he was discovered rapping by Stephanie on a bus on a European tour. She said, why don't you do it at the Halloween party? And he did, and the rest is history. Okay? But Cena, for 20 years, was, as you put it, Nikki, so aptly well, a face-ity-face-ity-face-ity-face-ity-face for those years. And combined with the fact that he is legitimately a good guy outside of the wrestling ring, with his make-a-wishes and all his charity work, that's why the heel turn didn't work. See,
yeah.
the reason why Hogan's heel turn worked is because everybody believed he was a dick. So
yeah,
put it on air. Be louder.
Yeah. And Cena, I mean, I can't even think of what he would have to do within the realm of pro wrestling. There's a lot of things he could do to get that heel heat, but it'd be the wrong kind of heat. That'd be the go-away heat.
Right, exactly.
His promos have been extremely empty and hollow. He's stopping short of saying, screw all you guys. And F them kids. He can't do it.
He's not. He can't. And that's why, Gordon, I'm sorry, Nikki. And that's why, Gordon, Hogan's legacy was the fact that he was a massively successful face and a massively successful heel. And very few wrestlers have ever done that. Very few, if any.
I'd say the ones that successfully have done it, like a Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and a Rock, have always gone up and down on the tweener stuff, and you've seen Hogan's influence on them. With LA Knight, you see Hogan's influence on him. You know, you can list a whole bunch of wrestlers that clearly did their Hogan homework when they were dealing with that, and they go, well, how do I go back and forth? Well, let's look at Hogan. You know, you can make an argument that all of that second generation stuff, and the reason why their personas work was because they did their homework on Hulk Hogan. They said, okay, here's how you do it.
You know, and it's just that there is only one really, I mean, well, okay, there's, yeah, I could say the most iconic wrestler that is left is Ric Flair.
And Ric Flair, if you're going to talk about the best tweener, the best good guy, bad guy, if you want to make an argument that it's not Hogan, then it's Flair.
Wow.
No one else is close.
That's tough. That's tough. Because Flair, you know, dirtiest player in the game. Right. You know, woo! You know, to beat the man, you got to beat the man. Right. Okay. But when Flair was a face, yeah, okay. Not often. But he did it, you know.
Yeah.
And his
people
daughter,
pop for him either way, and I know it's not about Ric Flair, but people pop for him either way. And when you had in WCW, when you had the double turn of Flair being the bad guy and beating Hogan for the title, when Flair was the bad guy and Hogan was the good guy, thanks to women and a bunch of other things, and then doing it again when Flair was a good guy and Hogan was the bad guy.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
It is, but and it harkens back to when The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin played hot potato with the belt and did it again based on good guy, bad guy, bad guy, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Except Hogan and Flair came first.
And but it's just that when you have a legacy, first of all, Hogan transcended wrestling, and that's the key. He was the first. Okay, well, now let me rephrase that. He was the most successful. There were Gorgeous George in the 60s and 50s did it, but nobody transcended wrestling outside of two people. Ric Flair in the 70s, and now, from the 70s to now, and then Hogan from the 80s until now.
Right. And anybody, when somebody, you know, someone who's not, doesn't do anything with wrestling, wants to do a caricature, it's going to be Hogan or Macho Man.
Yes, well, oh, let me tell you something, brother. Yeah, it's just, you get that growl. That's what you do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm going to flex my 24-inch pythons on the Macho Man. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What you're gonna do.
I mean, you could also make an argument that one of the best rivalries, if you had a list of, like, the best, the top five and the worst five rivalries that Hulk Hogan had with anybody, definitely Macho Man Savage has got to be up there. Obviously, Ric Flair has got to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of just the staying power, Roddy Piper,
Yep.
But you can also do, just as equally, a bottom five worst. What in the world were they thinking? Hogan rivalries. For argument's sake, Zeus.
Oh, God. Hogan, Zeus. Hogan, Michael.
The Yeti. I love the Yeti.
The Yeti. Hogan, the giant, when he pushed the giant off the building in Halloween Havoc, and then, right? Good God. Ugly. Ugly.
But, shows up the next day like nothing happened.
Yeah, exactly. John Cena's done it. I've been to a few dark shows where that's happened, actually. It's hilarious. But we do have to end it because we have another podcast to record. But I just want, Nikki, I want to just get everybody's final thoughts before we will continue on Saturday.
Well, as we have said in very, very different, in multiple ways, Hulk Hogan transcends wrestling and is probably the keystone in how wrestling became national under Vince McMahon. I won't say global because that's what Hunter's doing. But Hogan influenced two generations, maybe three, of wrestlers, you know, wrestlers who are working today. And people will still look back to look at what did he do that got him this far, and what not to do if you want to get that, if you want to get there. So to Hulk Hogan, you have found your place. For now, you are truly immortal.
Hogan, to me, again, was the guy who solidified where we are now. Without his foundation and McMahon, and again, we're not not denying the influences of any of the territories or the NWA or the, you know, AWA or mm-hmm. all that stuff. But without him, there ain't anything now. There ain't us right now. There isn't a Seth Rollins, a Cody Rhodes, a Roman Reigns, for the lack of a better term. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Influential by any stretch of the imagination. Gordon?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more than I can add that you both have said. The one thing that I'm going to disagree with a little bit, I absolutely think that he was global. Again, look at New Japan. Look at all Japan. Look at Europe. Look at some of these other places that you had a Hulk Hogan bouncing around in that matter. So I'm going to say that he was definitely a global icon of personality that's there. But Jay is absolutely right. He is part of the reason why we have all these characters, because Hogan created the textbook on how to be a super face and how to be a super heel. And did it in such a way, and again, it seems crazy, but did it in such a way that left everyone with more to be desired. On that, when I grew up, and just because, and everybody knows this, I love the counterculture. I love that sort of let's root for the bad guy. Hogan was easily somebody to root against as much as he was to root for. So for me, in my eyes, Hogan became cool once he turned on and once he was on the NWO. If he only had better writers, that could have gone on for a lot longer than what it did.
I agree with that.
In closing, for me, Hulk Hogan, and again, whether you like him or don't, and there's plenty of reasons to not like him, but I also attribute this to people with strong personalities and strong opinions making the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. None of that stuff interfered with what they did on the field, which is hit the ball really hard or make a lot of people miss. Whatever you think about Hulk Hogan and his beliefs, whether they're prejudicial or racist or whatever, that does not stop his work, and that does not account for the caliber of what he has brought to the universe of wrestling, for that matter. So, I'm hoping that you're hanging out with Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth and others in the giant ring in the sky, because, as everybody else has said, earned.
Okay, there you go. So, take us home, Nikki?
I was going to say, Chico, did you have any? Did we get Chico?
Chico, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You have anything else to add?
I'll just say, for a golden era in the 80s and 90s, Hulk Hogan was wrestling, and wrestling was Hulk Hogan. And for people of a certain age, that is definitive. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So, as we record this, the news broke this morning that Hulk Hogan passed away from heart issues, 71 years young. And for that, you know, there will be tributes. I'm looking forward to the program, to the package they're going to do for him on SmackDown, because they are going to do one.
I don't think they've already prepped one.
Yeah, and they put something up, but just, you know, we've said it 100 times on this podcast, but I'm going to say it one more time. No Hogan, no world wrestling entertainment. But
thank you. Appreciate Hogan, it.
Absolutely. So for Jason Block, for Gordon Pepper, for Chico Alexander, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection Emergency Broadcast. Do tune in this weekend as we will continue exploring the history and the interactions of Hulk Hogan before his untimely passing.